From the sports betting capital of the world, Las Vegas, it's time for the show you can't afford to miss. The number one weekly football preview, Wanna Bet. Get ready for valuable information, analysis, winning picks, and betting strategies. Your hosts, SEC gridiron guru Kip Kiefer, and award-winning betting expert, writer, and sports editor for the Las Vegas Sun, Case Kiefer. Let's go. Here's everything you need to win big. Wanna Bet.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wanna Bet coming to you from the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook. And I said that backwards. It's supposed to be Superbook at Westgate Las Vegas. So let's get that right. But regardless of what you call it, this is the premier facility for sports betting in Las Vegas. Check it out next time you're out in this area. If you're a sports fan, it is worth the trip. I'm with Case Kiefer. Clay Kiefer is our director producer. We are ready to bring you another episode. We just wrapped up about a four-week series talking about analytics and using numbers in college football and professional football handicapping. Case has been giving you a lot of information there. If you want to catch up with that series, if you happen to miss an episode, you can go to our Facebook page, which is Wanna Bet, and just like the page, and you'll have access to all of that information. Plus, we're developing, and I don't know if we're up and running yet, but we'll keep you posted, a YouTube channel to collect all that information if you want to watch it in one continuous series. But we've been focusing on football betting and handicapping. Case, I want to get back in completely the other direction here and talk about some more traditional areas that people use to analyze games and get your thoughts on them. I guess we'll call this discussion intangibles, if you will. And let's start with something that I think is really important, particularly in college football, the home-road angle. How much emphasis do you put on where the game is being played?
Yeah, this is another interesting topic, and you know, I know we're trying to stray from it, but really, it all does kind of come down to numbers as far as betting. If you're trying to bet into a point spread, it comes down to how much you want to adjust for a home field. Now, I guess it's not so secret. I think anyone that's super into this world knows that across all sports, the value of home field advantage has been diminishing just drastically in the last 20, 25 years. In the NFL now, you know, most of these, most bookmakers will tell you the market says that home field is only worth about a point and a half, where, you know, that's a change from even 10 years ago, it was still at three. College football, I think with some of the venues, you know, in some of the history and tradition there, it can be a little more, but you're going to be hard pressed to find anywhere where it's worth more than 3 points. But it comes down to you, your own. If you're trying to make a bet, you need to decide how much you think home field advantage is worth. You know, I will say in my own handicapping, I don't think there's you know, anyone where I would adjust more than 3 points. But college football and college basketball, actually specifically, even a little more than college football, those are the two sports right now where home field advantage sticks out as the most if you're looking at, you know, the way the betting market adjusts. So it still matters in college football, but it's going down and down. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, one is just how easy it is to travel and the money in these programs now. So it's diminished, but it is definitely still there.
You know, I've been kind of citing examples of, to illustrate some of these discussions, and the game that sticks out in my mind last year that was probably the most profound home field edge I saw all year, Arkansas came into Athens to play Georgia about the fifth or sixth week of the year on a roll. They had beaten Texas and Texas A&M back-to-back and beat them handily. They came into Sanford Stadium that day at Georgia, and if you remember that game, Georgia on its first two drives went right down the field and scored, and also forced a turnover and got a fumble in the end zone for a third score. It was 21-0 halfway through the first quarter. Arkansas looked totally like a different team. They were just completely discombobulated because of that, the loudness and just the hostile atmosphere. That was the most profound, that might have made, because Arkansas was a very credible team all year, that seemed like it made a 14 or 21 point difference.
Yeah, I think home field advantage certainly played into that, and it meant something. However, I think that you might have hit on another thing that's even more important that we see year after year mattering. I don't remember for sure, but I believe you were right. They played Texas. I think that game might have been at home. They played Texas A&M at a neutral site on the roads there traveling, well, then at Georgia. We do see some attrition. If you look back years, back-to-back road games is traditionally a really bad spot.
Yes.
Where. So I'm going to say we adjust 3 points for Georgia being at home at Sanford. Then maybe you look at the scheduling spot where Arkansas had been through all these wars. I believe that was kind of Georgia's first big test since the Clemson game and the opener. Yep. I could be wrong. So you look at kind of the fatigue there. Maybe you want to adjust a point or two for the fatigue. Then you look at the back-to-back road games, which is traditionally a really tough spot for teams, especially in college football. So I think that was really a confluence of factors. You know, not to totally minimize home field advantage, because clearly that played a role. But I think, you know, that's a couple other things in spots that do mean something. I guess my message would just be all of this, it does fall under the intangibles umbrella. I'm not arguing with you about that. But you can quantify all this. You can put it in your number. I think the most important thing you can do is try to put your own numbers on games. And you can, you know, look at some of the work's been done. There's been work on all this, that how much that's typically worth. And you could say that's worth even more. Maybe you think Arkansas had such a tough schedule. That's worth 3 points to Georgia's favor. But that was certainly a great spot for the Bulldogs, and it played out that way.
Yeah, the game, I think, ended up 41-0.
And I will say Georgia took I do remember this game very well. Georgia took money all. I think they closed like a 22.5 or 23-point favorite in that game, and everyone was like, I don't understand. I think Arkansas had the higher percentage of tickets. So that just goes to show you the market sometimes knows what it's talking about. There's some really sharp guys betting into this, and that line ended up kind of a tell for how the game went.
That's a great example, because I remember that specifically. The line was 22. You're absolutely right. And everybody, every analyst on television, everybody's has anybody been paying attention to this Arkansas team? That line's way off. And it turned out, it was way off. It was only half of what it should have been.
Yeah. I do think I might be a little guilty. I believe in my column back then, I didn't make it a play, but I do believe I picked Arkansas. I thought it was just a little too high. I might have understood at the beginning. But, you know, it's just that's a really tough spot. I mean, looking back in hindsight, and Georgia was obviously, you know, just ridiculous last year. But what a great example to kind of illustrate some of these points.
There was an old adage for years in handicap. My father was a traditional, your grandfather was a traditional kind of player, and you know, numbers didn't enter. The only number that entered into his factor is how much he was going to bet. But he had an old time one that he had picked up somewhere, and I saw it in subsequent years of NFL teams on the road for a second straight week. Are a play against, but I don't really see in following that closely. I remember there's examples, particularly in the playoffs, of teams being on the road 3 weeks in a row and coming through. So is that kind of out the window, or was that a fallacy to start with?
I think there is something there. I mean, that kind of ties back to what I just said, is teams, when they have back-to-back road games, their quality tends to decline. Now, the problem in this day and age especially, and maybe it was profitable to him back then. I mean, we're talking probably 50 years ago or even longer. I just think that the market is so good now, and there's so much money in football, that a lot of that is factored in. You know, it's going to be tough to find a spot where you can really, you know, find some value on that, because I think everyone does know that now. I don't have any doubt he probably had some success with that back in the day. I just feel like now it's probably more factored in. That's kind of common knowledge at this day and age.
Well, you know, again, I'm trying to think of some other intangibles. I had some notes here, so bear with me just for a second so I can make sure I can cover the question, because I'm usually better prepared than this. I remember what I want to talk about. What kind of factors do you put in quote rivalry games, or maybe major division matchups? Does any of that go into your calculations?
You know, not really. Maybe it should, because there's some where there's been, you know, some craziness and stuff. But, you know, I tend to minimize the historical effects a little bit. Now, there are some crazy examples. I know we're getting down to, you know, the end of the season. There's some big games like that this week. So, you know, stick with me. Maybe it'll be in some of my picks this week. We'll talk about that here later, coming up on Wanna Bet.
Well, we've enjoyed giving you some information. We've kind of gone old school with some of this discussion, but whatever method you use, hope you're going to be successful. And I can promise you one of the keys to that success is Case Kiefer's Picks. That's coming up next here on Wanna Bet.
Hey, it's Case Kiefer back for another week of my picks here on Wanna Bet. But first, as always, let's look back at last week. And unfortunately, another bit of a mediocre slate for me. We went 2-2 on college football, 1-2-1 on the NFL, a half point away from profit if it wasn't for our constant nemesis, TCU, ending up beating Texas Tech by 10, only had 9.5 on the show. So that makes it a slight losing week, but still a ways to go, and we're not buried or anything. 16-16-2 on the show on college football, 15-3-1 on the NFL. And to be honest, a pretty short volume week for me, the least I've bet all year.
this year, especially in college football. Still going to have three plays, but there's a couple reasons for that of why I've scaled back a little bit. I guess, first of all, not the main reason, but one of them is it's just been kind of a frustrating year, full transparency. If you read my column on LasVegasSun.com, it's actually still been very successful. I think I'm something like 60 games over 500 picking every game, so I think there's still some good information there. I've just had a tough time figuring out what to elevate, what should be my top-rated plays. I've been kind of misguided there, as you can see in the show record and in the column record. But that's not the main reason why I'm taking a little bit step back volume-wise. I will say my saving grace for this college football season is I am just in really good positions futures-wise, especially with conference futures, which we're now getting close to at the end of the regular season. National championship odds, I'm looking really good too. So I'm trying to play a little bit of defense here. You know, I've built up an equity in a lot of these markets, and I don't want to see it go to waste. I think I just made one of the biggest mistakes I've made of my betting life in another sport, in baseball, with not capitalizing on a good position. I had the Phillies at 40-1 to win the World Series. I had plenty of opportunities to play some back on the Astros, who I didn't have any exposure to, never did. So kind of down on myself for letting that one slip away. You know, all's not lost. I had the Phillies to win the National League too, so I had a nice score there at 20-1. But you know, you got to learn from your mistakes a little bit just to get into the process. So I really want to make sure I capitalize on, you know, having good positions in a bunch of different conferences. I wish I was keeping a list of all the futures I've given out here on the show. Off the top of my head, there were a few of them I thought of. Kind of a mixed bag as far as on want to bet. I know the Heisman long shots I gave at the beginning of the year aren't looking great here. Personally, I'm looking pretty good in the Heisman market. I like my position, but those are probably dead from the show. A couple good ones I have. I know I said Texas plus 450 at one point. They're a 7-point favorite hosting TCU this week. Should win that game, but you know, TCU pulls out all kinds of things out of its hat every week and kills us, so I'm not going to get involved there. But that's one that we have from the show. And I know we have Cincinnati plus 350 in the American. They're like 2-1 now, so looking like good value there too. We'll have an American pick here in a second. Lastly, one pick I know I gave out on the show as a future that is not looking so good is Washington 12-1 to win the Pac-12. They're officially out of that now. They've failed to cover 5 games in a row, but that's where we're going to start for this week's picks. I am taking Washington plus 13.5 against Oregon. I actually haven't bet this one myself yet. I really want to wait and see if it gets to 14. I could see this landing on 14 easily, so I think it'd be a kind of a key to capture that key number, but I just feel like it's time to sell high on Oregon. They're getting so much love right now, and they have been great, but what do we know, if anything, about Bo Nix is how inconsistent he is. Now he's getting a, you know, Heisman buzz has just been electric for I think like a month and a half now. I really don't think there's that big of a difference between him and Michael Penix, though, for Washington. If you look at their career numbers, they've both been in college football so long that they're really similar. Kalen DeBoer from Washington, one of the best covering coaches, I think top 5 in the nation, dating back to his times at Fresno State. Obviously, we've seen that crash here. The market's kind of caught up. But, you know, now, in addition to selling high on Oregon, I think this is a place to buy low on Washington. All their problems have been defensively, but I think this is going to be a shootout, and I think that they are well equipped for a shootout. So I'm going to go plus 13.5, hope to get that 14, though. Other two college games, I teased it in the AAC. Third week in a row, we're going to be on a UCF game. This week, I'm going back on UCF. I'm going to take them plus 2 at Tulane. These are the two leaders of the conference. We were against UCF last week, but hey, they beat us fair and square against Memphis. John Reese Plumlee, their quarterback, didn't play, so the handicap all went according to plan, except their backup, Mikey Keene, just looked really good. I was really impressed by him. I think Plumlee comes back this week, but even if he doesn't, I think now you wouldn't even say Keene's a red flag anymore after what he's shown in his limited action. I think this is a good matchup for UCF. I think they'll be able to throw a lot on Tulane, so give me UCF plus 2. We talked about a coaching edge in the first game with I still think I trust Kalen DeBoer a little bit more than Dan Lanning, although Dan Lanning's done a great job in Oregon. How about another coaching situation here? I'm going to take Middle Tennessee minus 11 with Rick Stockstill, who's been there forever, but they are taking on Charlotte, who's just kind of a mess right now. They fired Will Healy, I believe, 2 weeks ago. They kind of had that bump. They got a bunch of turnovers 2 weeks ago and surprisingly won in their first game without him, but then just got absolutely crushed last week. The program's going to be rebuilding this offseason. I'm looking for spots to fade Charlotte. And this is a spot where I really thought Middle Tennessee, who's been up and down this year, had some turnover issues, but had a really ugly game last week. I think they'll be sharper this week. And I think only having to lay 11, not up to 14, is big against Charlotte. So Middle Tennessee minus 11, UCF plus 2, Washington plus 13.5, the three packs of picks on college. Let's get to the NFL, where I got three as well. We're going to start with Denver. I hate this already went down to plus 2.5, plus 3 earlier in the day. Made my biggest bet of the week earlier this week on Denver. They are going to Tennessee. And, you know, maybe Ryan Tannehill plays, but it seems like it's going to come down to the wire. And if you watch the Sunday night game, they had a great plan, especially defensively against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But Malik Willis is just not ready. He's not an NFL quarterback yet. Denver's rush defense, very good. Denver's hold defense, very good. I just don't see how Tennessee's going to move the ball, whether it is Willis or Tannehill at not 100%. The Broncos coming off of a bye, a team that I think is going to be a little bit stronger down the second half of the season. So give me Denver plus 2.5. Speaking of selling high and teams I'm ready to fade, I think the Bears are getting a little bit too much love for looking good the last couple weeks and the progression of Justin Fields. I have been impressed by them, but I think Detroit's got a better roster top to bottom. I'm surprised they're a 3-point underdog here. I think that's a little bit too big for me. This looks like about a pick 'em. The Lions have let me down all year, but their defense is coming around now and actually has looked okay. We know they have some firepower offensively, so give me Detroit plus 3. And I guess all underdogs this week in the NFL, you know I try to throw in a primetime game, so we're going to finish it off with a big ugly dog in Monday Night Football. I'm going to take the Commanders plus 11 against the Eagles. The Eagles probably been the best team in the NFL. Of course, they're undefeated. Another team I'm sitting with a bunch of futures on. So I am bullish on the Eagles overall, but this is a lot of points for a division game. I think when there's this big of an underdog in a division game, I'm always going to be looking at them unless I think they're one of the worst teams in the league. I don't think the Commanders are quite there. They've been very scrappy these last few weeks. I think they've covered three straight games, or at least maybe pushed the last one, won a couple. I think this will be a somewhat close game. I expect the Eagles to come out with a win, stay perfect, but I don't think it's going to be a runaway. So in the NFL, that's Washington plus 11, Detroit plus 3, and Denver plus 2.5. Thanks for listening to Wanna Bet. Stay tuned to get Kip's takes on the SEC next.
Hey, everybody, it's Kip Kiefer. You know, on all of our shows, we're in the business of picking winners. But selecting the champions of real estate, particularly downtown, well, that's easy. It's Lita D'Imperio and Carrie Smith, the dream team at Realty South. 205-937-2232 is the phone number to call if you want to get in the game of fabulous downtown living.
Hey, everybody, time for SEC Report with Kip Kiefer. Hope everybody had a great week and are getting ready for some football. And it's going to be fantastic. The SEC, some key games again as we sort through the puzzle that is the SEC season. A lot of big games, but let's start with one that's maybe not so big in terms of impact. But you've got two teams with five-game losing streaks that have gone a whole different way of dealing with that. Of course, at Auburn, Brian Harsin relieved last week. Carnell Cadillac Williams, a fantastic Auburn player, got the interim coach job and did a phenomenal job at Mississippi State last week as Auburn nearly pulled off the miraculous come-from-behind win. The kids really played hard in that game. Meanwhile, Texas A&M dropped their fifth in a row. This was a team that started the season ranked number 6 in the polls, and Jimbo Fisher is at the helm of the most disappointing team in all of America this year. I don't think you're going to be able to come up with one that has performed more poorly with expectations being so high. So, again, five-game losing streaks. And keep in mind, both these teams, the last time they won a game, Auburn's was against Missouri, a game they never should have won. Missouri drove down and had a 28-yard field goal lined up with no time left on the clock, and the kicker missed it. Kept Auburn alive, sent the game to overtime. That kicker would go on to hit 11 in a row after that over the next four games, including 6 field goals better than 45 yards. So it was a big-time fluke. Auburn kicked a field goal in their first possession of the overtime. The very first play from scrimmage, the Missouri running back ran right to the goal line, 25 yards untouched, and inexplicably, the ball popped out of his hands. Auburn recovered in the end zone. So Auburn dodged that bullet twice. Should have a six-game losing streak here by all indications of what actually happened. And on the other hand, same thing with A&M. They've lost five in a row. Their last win was in Dallas against Arkansas. Remember that game? Arkansas had a 14-3 lead when K.J. Jefferson tried to bolt over the top for a 21-3 lead. The ball came out. 99 yards later, it was returned the other way by Texas A&M. Arkansas dominated the game, drove down toward the end, had a chance to kick a short field goal to win that one, and it hit off the top of the uprights. So both of these teams very lucky to have the one each of the few wins that they possess. So what's something's got to happen? Something's got to give. Somebody's got to finally break their losing streak. And I'm sorry, Auburn fans, I'm more inclined to think Texas A&M is due. They should have their young freshman quarterback, Wagman, back, and that's going to make a big difference. I think Auburn is kind of hanging on by a thread right now. They're just not a very deep team. They played their hearts out last Saturday at Mississippi State and came up short. I think the woes continue on the Plains. Give me Texas A&M. Plus two. We told you last week our best bet of the year at that point was Georgia against Tennessee. We talked about how if you really looked at all of the boxes to check, Georgia had the overwhelming majority of those going into that game, and it was surprising that so many experts around the country just seemed sure that Tennessee was going to run up and down the field totally uninhibited. A lot of people didn't realize or have just not been paying attention that as Tennessee does take a lot of deep shots and have a lot of success, but they are reliant on a strong running game to set all that up. And nobody has run the ball on the Georgia defense the last couple of seasons. And of course, last year's defense was one of the all-time greats, evidenced by the drafting of five starters off that defense in the first round of the NFL draft. And N'Kobe Dean, the captain of that unit, early in the second. So Georgia had 15 players drafted off the national championship team, most of them on the defensive side of the ball. But this group has kind of taken the torch and kept it going, and they really played a tremendous game, shutting down the Volunteers. Georgia the winner and one of our better picks of the season so far last week. Now Georgia goes to Mississippi State. It is impossible to expect this team not to have somewhat of a letdown after that huge emotional win over the Volunteers. And it's a tough place to get to. It's a small stadium. It's loud. It's just completely different atmosphere. Georgia has, of course, the better roster. But 16.5 points, this is a game that a team like Mississippi State just lives for because it's a big opportunity to make a shocking national statement. I think Georgia will gut out a victory. I think they're too close to the finish line now to blink. But I don't think that they're going to dominate and overwhelm Mississippi State, who will hang in with an efficient offense and another team that doesn't just throw it around the yard. They run it effectively. They probably won't have that success against the Dogs, but their defense is pretty scrappy. So give me Mississippi State in the 16.5. Alabama last week, man, it's been all the talk here on our radio show the morning after, Sundays 9 a.m. on Jocks in Birmingham. The Alabama, the tower has collapsed talk is just overwhelming. But they kind of have a chance now to bounce back. Their playoff chances are really very slim. They have to beat Ole Miss to stay alive. The Rebels are still in a good spot. If LSU were to stumble in one of these two road SEC games they have remaining, Ole Miss could find themselves in Atlanta. But to do that, they have to beat Alabama. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but I also cannot passed up taking 11.5 points. Lane Kiffin has had 2 weeks to prepare for Alabama, who's coming in licking their wounds. I think this is going to be another great game at Oxford between Alabama and Ole Miss. Give me the points. And finally, we mentioned Arkansas-LSU. Arkansas really smarting after Liberty came in and beat them on their homecoming last week. Sam Pittman will rally the troops. LSU is the it team right now. They are up to number 7 in the poll. I don't really think that this is a spot where you can be real confident in the Tigers going in there and taking care of business against Arkansas, who also has a big opportunity to make a national statement. The Razorbacks are getting 3 at home. LSU has not been very impressive on the road. I'm going to take Arkansas in that game and call for an outright upset. I think the Razorbacks knocked the Tigers down a peg in Fayetteville on Saturday. That's the report this week. Hope you have a lot of success. Always enjoy coming to you here on Wanna Bet. We appreciate you tuning in. This is Kip Kiefer, and we will be with you again next week.